The following production is brought to you by the Talkin' Buds Leaf Show.
Talkin' Buds Leaf Show. How's it going, everybody? I'm Rob.
He's Ryan.
Hear that, buddy boy?
That is me ready for playoff hockey because I am
tapping out of the regular season.
I'm running out of things to get excited about, and it really just hammers home how long an 82-game season is.
The NHL regular season is way too long, and if it's going to be this long, start it in mid-September. Like the fact that the playoffs are starting on the 20th of April is crazy. It's way too late. I heard, like, on sports radio all week, I heard multiple people say that, where it was like, it's over. Like, let's just get the playoffs underway. I think everybody feels the same.
Yeah. I mean, there are some good races for wild cards in the East, and I think it's kind of wrapped up in the West, but like there's a ton of teams jammed up for the second wild card in the East, so at least there's, like, some intrigue of, like, who's getting in, but...
We checked it before we signed on here, and the Pittsburgh Penguins are sitting in the second wild card spot. Man, oh man. Kyle Dubas going to win GM of the year.
Yeah, wow. And they were ready to sell off the whole team at the deadline, and they rattle off four in a row, and here they are. They're in a spot.
That's when you got a guy...
Yeah, when you have the
Sidney Crosby, who
assists...
Yeah, His personality permeates through that dressing room, and everybody sort of follows suit, and he's like, I am not wasting a season of my career, and I'm going to drag this team to a postseason berth if it kills me.
Yeah, he is one of the GOATs. There's just no two ways about it.
I made a note the other night during the Tampa game, and then... last night, I just reaffirmed that this had to be a talking point on today's episode. I wanted to start by just talking about Ryan Reeves in general. There have been a lot of interesting storylines this year with certain players. You've got Ilya Samsonov, who at Christmas, we were like, this guy's done. We're never going to see him again. It's over. Ryan Reeves, guy was a minus a million the first half of the season. You and I literally joked on here that his knee injury was a work to get him on Robidoux Island, on LTIR.
Yeah.
Since he's come back, this guy has been everything he was advertised to be and more.
Yeah. And that more is actually having good shifts that he's forechecking and not making stupid decisions with the puck. That's the more. Like, you were expecting him getting in people's faces and him pissing people off and fighting guys. And man, that guy, the amount of times that guy's punched somebody's visor this year, is his knuckles are probably cut up, but that more is important. And that more is him actually having good shifts with David Kampf and that fourth line.
100%. And you hit on it. It's not that he wasn't skating to start the year. It's like he just didn't know where to be or what his role was or what he should have been doing, which is kind of weird considering, like you said, it was clear he was brought in here to add. How many guys, like when you think back to all the guys they've brought in to add an edge to this Leaf team, Wayne Simmonds comes to mind.
Yeah.
Joe Thornton comes to mind. Like, guys that they were like, we need to add some leadership and toughness to sort of protect our star players. And when the season started, Reeves looked like just another one of those guys that was going to flame out and not work. And skating, infinitely better. Forechecking, infinitely better. He had the first shift against Tampa the other night where he's out there hitting everything in sight. He did the same thing against Florida. He fights Tanner Janot. A guy who we had circled, when they picked him up, we went through the list of goons in the Atlantic Division that he was probably going to have a showdown with, and Tanner Janot was at or near the top of that list. You know what I loved about that tilt? They skated over to center ice, like two gladiators in the middle of the arena, And then you're right. He's fighting guys with a visor.
Yeah, he's like the only guy who doesn't wear a visor, and his helmet always comes off. And he's just punching dudes who have visors on. And it's just like, I don't know what his knuckles look like right now, but I know they're bleeding and they hurt because, man, he's laying into helmets and visors, and I can't even imagine what that feels like. If you hit that under part of that visor, like, that's gotta fucking hurt, man.
He ends that fight by just tagging Tanner Jeannot,
who's
out the next night. Then he fights Pezzetta in Montreal, and you can say that that's a mismatch, whatever. He stuck up for his teammate, and then the best part of that was him turning and sort of screaming at the entire Habs bench. And then you look at, what's my word of the year this year? Galvanize. You look at the Leaf bench, they're all standing, they're all into it. Matthews had a quote after the game where he was like, this guy is an absolute beast. Something clicked for him after coming back from his injury. And the big discussion around him has been, should he play in the playoffs? And I think he has made it. He's made a very strong case to be in there for at least game one. And if you're going to play the Florida Panthers, man, what have we been saying for weeks on here? The Florida Panthers are going to start that series in one specific way. They're going to have one specific thing they're going to want to do, which is up the intensity and up the physicality. And you kind of need him out there. You saw him on Monday against the Panthers, like, kind of goading Brady Tkachuk, and it was he's in my game one lineup.
Yeah, I think you just put him in until he like plays a way where you're like, hey, I can't put this guy in again. Like, you might as well just start him and see what happens. And I mean, it's been a roller coaster. Like, we were pretty stoked when he signed here, and we're excited. He started the season. He was brutal. But also, don't forget, their team was pretty brutal to start the season. Like, nobody was really... I know Matthews got a bunch of hat tricks, but we were wanting more out of them to start the season. And just, he just went away and come back. And now he's what we all thought he was going to be. He also, like, didn't fight for a long time.
No, he had,
like,
two fights at the beginning of the year, and then he didn't fight until...
until, like, February.
Yeah, until Matt Rempe.
Yeah, like he legitimately didn't fight for a long time.
Yeah.
So yeah, he's back on track.
Yeah. You look at their lines. Who's coming out? Like, I like the fourth line as currently constituted. I think David Kampf is in his rightful spot as a fourth line centerman. I've praised Connor Dewar endlessly since they picked him up. And then you look at Reeves, it's like you just don't want them to get caught out there like they did against Tampa. Although Keefe took a lot of heat for that because he put them on the ice for that. And I guess the mentality is, well, you know, we want to see what they can do if in the playoffs they get caught out there against a top line, and it didn't go well. However, you're not taking Connor Dewar and Ryan Reeves out and putting Nick Robertson in. You're not doing it. It's not happening.
Well, I mean,
Sheldon Keefe sure as hell is not doing it.
Doesn't matter who's on their fourth line. You don't want your fourth line going up against another team's top line. I don't care who's on that line. It's not a good situation for whoever's on that line. So, like, that whole situation was what it was. Like, who cares? Like, get over it.
He deserves credit. I'm going to give it to him. Last week, I said, I don't see why when Mitch Marner comes back, he just automatically gets to go on the top line with Austin Matthews. And why would you break up this first line that you said brings a different element to Matthews' game, a much more aggressive, like, forechecking element to Austin Matthews' game? And to Sheldon Keefe's credit, he didn't break him up. Mitch Marner goes on the second line with John Tavares and Bobby McMahon. You've got a wave of three lines here, because the fourth line is not really, like, the fourth line is going to play their role. But if you're looking for offense, you've got a wave of lines here. Like, we talked about in previous weeks, they need a well-balanced attack that makes it more difficult on their opponent heading into the playoffs. And to me, this is it. And I just really hope that if they get in a situation, whether it's down the stretch or in the playoffs, if it's not working for a period, leave it alone. Just leave it alone. Let these guys stay together. The best John Tavares has looked in his entire Maple Leaf career is when he's been with Mitch Marner. Matthews, like you said,
he doesn't need help.
No,
it's like,
agreed.
What's Mitch Marner's reputation? making other players better around him. I don't think Austin Matthews needs to have a guy. You're not looking at his game right now being like, we need to elevate this guy's game. Like, he's playing just fine with those two guys. I really like that line. They've been playing well for a decent amount of time here. And you're looking at a guy who you've been wanting more out of all season, and that's the captain. So throw Mitchie on that line, and he did. So good for Sheldon.
You take a look at Bobby McMahon on that line. This is a storyline. How many years have we sat here and gone, who's going to step up, who's going to step up? Bobby McMahon has been another great story for them this year. Has emerged as a guy with scoring touch who is currently playing in your top six.
Yeah, that's huge. Absolutely huge. Like, he's a likable guy who plays like he's a big guy, and he's not afraid to get a little physical, and he can put the puck in the net. What more can he ask for? It's what they've been lacking. It's having guys under contract for huge money that you can't. You've been trading draft picks for a long time, so you really haven't had a first round guy other than Robertson. Even though Robertson's first round or second round guy, I don't know, but. He was touted to be a top prospect, and having someone just come out of the woodwork like McMahon has been just
well. You've also got Nyes, but Nyes is still early, and Nyes is still a rookie.
I love Matthew Nyes.
I wanted to get to that line next because the guys on Overdrive were talking about this, and I totally agree with them. Moving William Nylander down to the third line, I think in previous seasons might have been seen as a slight, but this is not a slight. It is.
I've been saying this all
year. Carry your own line.
Yeah, I've been saying this all year. This guy does not need. If anybody could play with anybody on this team, that's the guy. Because he just demands the puck so much that it doesn't matter who he's with. He's just going to play kind of the same. He might have another guy who can help him with a little more scoring touch in front of the net. But he always has the puck. And Matthew Nyes is a great hawk. I love Matthew Nyes. I think he's going to be a fantastic NHLer. You look at this season with him. I'm pretty sure he leads their forwards in hits. You would like maybe 10 to 15 more points out of the guy, but he's still a young dude. It's been a long season for him after playing college, and all I see is just good things in the future for him. He has everything. I know he has touch. I know he is scoring touch. He's shown it a couple times this season.
He's a rookie who's still refining his skills. They got 1 year left on his entry contract after this one. If they can get a deal worked out with him, I've said multiple times, I think he's a massive, massive piece of this team's future.
Yeah.
100%. Another guy I wanted to give a shout out to, your friend and mine, Pontus has settled in nicely as the third line center.
How far is Cali Yarncroak away from coming back?
That's the thing. So you're looking at this lineup and you said who comes out. And when we were talking about Reeves, I said who comes out. And I don't know. Honestly, I don't know. Because I think taking Ryan Reeves out of the lineup, especially it's looking more and more like they're going to play the Florida Panthers. That's the most locked in currently that it's felt in a few weeks. I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know who Cali Yarncroak is going in for. I don't know.
Yeah. Well, it's either Pontus, Reeves, or Dewar. Yeah. So you got to pick one of the three. I don't care if they're playing Florida or they're playing the New York Rangers or the Carolina Hurricanes or the Boston Bruins. I want Ryan Reeves in the lineup game one. And if he sucks for a game or two,
pull him out.
And you're like, hey, maybe. Like physicality is obviously very important, especially to set the tone. But if the tone of the series isn't super nasty and you're like, hey, this guy's just kind of doing nothing out here, then take him out. But
and thing with not to go back to Reeves, but the game slows down in the playoffs.
Yeah.
So if anything, it shouldn't be a situation where he's not able to keep up like earlier in the year. I just praise Pontus and God love Pontus. But if Cali Yarncroak is going to slide back into this lineup at some point, what is your opinion of moving Nylander to the middle on that third line and going Nylander, Yarncroak, Nyes?
I don't know.
You don't.
What have you seen out of Nylander at center that makes you like want to do that? Like it's a good idea on paper to try to fit in.
Well,
all
that's the thing.
Best players
I haven't seen anything.
Have.
I'm just trying to find a way to fit him in.
Exactly. That's all it is. Is you're just trying to have all your best players in the lineup at once, but it's. I don't think that's like ideal. I mean, when has he ever had a long run at center in the NHL? And all of a sudden you're playing the most important series. Like, this is a must-win first round for them, and you're throwing your best player in a position to play a position that he's never had a long run at against the best defensive hockey team in the NHL. Like, that's not an ideal situation.
Well, you know what? I don't know, because Kelly Yarncroc's a good hockey player.
Yeah, he's going in.
Yeah.
And he plays a lot of roles. He has some touch. He's going to play the penalty kill. He's going in. Sheldon Keefe loves Kelly Yarncroc. And I like him too. So.
Well, that's what I mean. I'm not saying this as a slight against Yarncroc, because I agree. He's a good player who plays important roles on this team. But I've liked their game down the stretch here. Like, I'm sorry for, like, it's not going to be super negative today. Like, I've liked their game. I think they've looked good down the stretch. So I'm kind of like, don't mess with a thing that's working.
Yeah.
Type thing.
But he has to go back in. Yeah. He's too important. He is a very, like, that's the hard part, is they have played well and you've liked their lineup ever since they've kind of switched it up. But he's going back in and somebody's coming out. I don't know who, but I don't love the idea of putting your most, like, dynamic puck guy who skates with the puck on your team at center when he's never had a long run.
Well, and the thing is, here's a counterbalance to that. Obviously, with Nylander, you worry about the 200-foot aspect, especially if he's playing center. So I guess that's where it would make sense to put Yarncroc on his wing to sort of supplement whatever defensive deficiencies
not
might happen.
Work.
I know. I'm galaxy braining this.
This is fantasy land.
I chirp Sheldon all the time for galaxy braining, and here I am sitting here galaxy braining. Yeah. I don't know. We know hockey games move fast, but with DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NHL, you can score faster than anything happening on the ice. This week, new customers can bet $5 and get $200 instantly in bonus bets. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app with the code THPN. New customers bet just $5 on the NHL and get $200 instantly in bonus bets. Only on DraftKings Sportsbook with code THPN. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or visit www.1800gambler.net. In New York, call 8778-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY 467-369. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly. On behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort in Kansas. 21 plus, age varies by jurisdiction. Void in Ontario. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. See dkng.com/hockey for eligibility and deposit restrictions, terms, and responsible gaming resources. NHL and the NHL Shield are registered trademarks of the National Hockey League. Copyright NHL 2024, all rights reserved. Austin Matthews, 64 goals. The race to 70. How much? It's kind of like, 70 is important. 6 games left, okay? 6 goals in 6 games is what he needs.
Yeah, which is doable.
Yeah, it's doable. I just, like, the debate here is, would you risk putting him in one of these later games against Florida or Tampa for him to try and get his 70th? And I'm kind of like, I don't know.
Yes.
Yeah, you would.
Yeah, absolutely. This guy's not sitting, man. I just don't see that happening. I don't see this guy sitting.
You don't think there's going to be load management down the stretch here a little bit?
Not with him. No. I don't think so. You're going to look at this guy like, come on.
I just worry about...
This means a lot to this guy. Like, to be in that exclusive club that... Alexander Ovechkin's going to break Wayne Gretzky's goal record.
I'm not saying it's not... I just want to be clear. I'm not downplaying the significance of 70 goals. I'm just saying, for me, it's about these two final games against Florida and Tampa. What are the vibes going to be in those games? Would you play Florida? It'll be like, well, so that's on Tuesday, April 16th. So odds are you'll be sitting there going, well, we'll be here on Saturday for game one. So is the vibe going to be, let's rest people and get ready? Or is Florida going to be like, no, we're going to send a message and try and take a PCU before we have a series against you?
Yeah.
Very next night, you've got Tampa. Can I just say, I had a moment the other night where I was like, thank God the Leafs don't have to play the Tampa Bay Lightning again in the first round. The Tampa Bay Lightning are rounding into form. That, like, they haven't looked like this all year. And now all of a sudden they look like quite possibly the biggest threat in the Eastern Conference. Vasilevsky looks like Vasilevsky again. I'm watching the other night and I'm just like, God, this is a dirty hockey team. Man, they're dirty. They just know how to.
That's a brutal matchup for the Bruins.
Yeah, it is.
That's a brutal matchup.
It is.
There's just no. I know it's the playoffs and it's tough.
Right, like, it's a brutal matchup for anyone. Like, if they play the Rangers, that's a brutal matchup for the Rangers.
Just, we know what they're about. It's especially if Vasilevsky's playing the way he can play. It's not an ideal situation for the Bruins at all.
So, anyways, long story short, if the vibes of those games are not intense, it's like, okay, play them. Let's make the push for 70. But I worry so much about something happening and he's not 100%. What if something happens to his wrist? What if something, I know I'm being a bit of a worry wart here, but I think that's something they have to be very careful to navigate.
Like, something could happen to his wrist.
That's true.
The next game.
Against the home and home with the New Jersey Devils.
I just don't see that happening. I'm not worried about that. It's, and also, like, do you want to really just mail in two games before your series starts? Like, they have a good thing going here. Like, I know you don't want a guy to get hurt, but if that happens, that's just the way the world works. That's just how, just a bad break, you know? Like, I don't want to play like that. I don't want them to not have a great attitude against two teams that I can't stand and two teams that if they beat, it's just, you feel good about it going into the playoffs. Like, load management is not a part of hockey. Like, we're not talking about basketball. We're not talking about the NBA here. It's just, I don't think they should take their foot off the gas in those two games. Maybe the only guy I could see being like, let's give this guy a rest is Samsonov.
I would keep him. I would keep him rolling and feeling good about himself. Well, 1 minute before we talk about the goalies, O-Dog has been saying this a lot on Overdrive, and I totally agree. I could care less about what's happening with the Florida Panthers down the stretch here. Like, I'm not buying into that at all, which is, you can accuse me of contradicting myself because I said, I love the way the Leafs are playing heading into the playoffs, but I don't know. I think it's different strokes for different folks, and I think the Leafs are a group that needs that sort of, like, they need to be feeling good. Yeah, they need to be feeling good about themselves heading into the playoffs. Whereas the Florida Panthers, man, like, when that puck drops for game one, I don't care about what's happened the last month. I don't care. And neither do they.
No.
And if you're a team like them, you're looking at this going, all right, fresh start. Who cares about what's happened the last month? We're here now, we're in the playoffs.
It's like, they've played so well all year. Like, this is the first. What is this, their first little hiccup of the season? Like,
well, it's gone on for, it's gone on for a while now.
Had. Like, it's,
yeah, it's gone on for a while now, though. Like, it's
easy. I know we like the way they're playing in the lines and everything, but we know through experience of doing this for the past 6 years that you, like, anybody can gain confidence playing against this team if they're not ready to play. Like, it just, we've seen it. We've seen them lose to Buffalo. We've seen them lose to the Habs over the years. We've seen them lose to Ottawa. A team that is struggling can just decide to play a hard style and gain confidence against this team. So I think if anybody's putting their opinion on them being happy about playing Florida because they're not playing well right now, like, that's ridiculous. That just makes no sense to me.
You talked about him earlier. I think after Thursday, was it Wednesday or Thursday? No, it was Thursday. And how Joe Wall looked against the Tampa Bay Lightning.
Yeah.
I think the net is officially Ilya Samsonov's for game one. I feel bad for Joe Wall. I think your opinion that you said about, did you get any more texts on Thursday?
No.
I know you love Joe Wall. I think all the tools are there, and I think the potential for him is sky high, but I just think he's coming back off a significant injury. His schedule since coming back has been weird. I heard this mentioned this week, too, and I actually agree with it. Like, the way they've kind of brought him back into the lineup is weird. He hasn't really got good matchups. He's in this brutal streak right now where he's letting in the first shot of the game all the time.
Yeah.
It just takes, like, the Tampa game, I thought they started that game pretty well and were in it with them, and then it just got away from them because Joe Wall couldn't make a save and for the first period, and then they blew the assignment and left Brayden Point open, and it just, the game just got away from them. But
yeah,
I think at this point in time, you feel better about Samsonov starting game one as opposed to Wall.
Yeah, he's been unbelievable since he's come back. Like, there's just no, like, we were saying who's going to start game one, and it's just worked itself out. And I'm a bit of a goalie sympathizer because I think it is just such a tough position, and I think you can let in some softies, but he also has had some bad luck where, like, the first shot of the game, like, I forget which the one game was, and it was just like a weird knuckle puck that was just diving in every direction, and then there's been just like a redirect, and it's been just kind of a string of bad luck for him. He hasn't looked as good as he looked before he got hurt earlier in the season, but I do kind of feel for him that he's it's being portrayed like he's not playing well, but I do think he's had some bad luck. But we wanted to know who was starting game one, and it's just worked itself out. Samsonov has been really, really good.
I saw some pretty spazzy takes this week about, like, they don't even want Joe Wall backing up Samsonov in his current form.
What the hell does that even Jones mean?
Well, in the event that, because I think everyone is treading
the dumbest
lightly.
Thing I've ever heard.
So you're good with Wall backing up
Samsonov? Why do you want Martin Jones in there? Weren't we just throwing Martin Jones down the tube, like, 2 months ago? Like, come on.
Well,
you could
say that Martin Jones saved.
Yeah,
season.
He did, but then that went away pretty quickly. Like, all of a sudden, they were like, you can't have Martin Jones starting, and now Joe Wall's had a couple string of, like, bad luck hockey games, and now you don't even want him sitting on the bench. Like, shut.
I think this...
You are so bored to be sitting around thinking about
there's people who analyze every inch of this team, let me tell you. There's, like, tons of people on Twitter where I see them every day, and I'm like, do you have a job? Because you literally are on this app tweeting about this hockey team 24 hours a day, 7 days a week.
You could
also
make the argument that Joe Wall saved their season, too, because when Samsonov was, like, beyond brutal, he was unbelievable through that stretch before he got hurt. That was the best I've ever seen a Leaf goalie look in a stretch in a long time. So,
listen,
like, give the guy, like, that is ridiculous.
Listen, pal.
He hasn't been awful. Like, he's just had some bad luck. He's had to make a save or two there's a couple he'd probably want back, but it's not like he was, I don't know. I don't know. Like, I guess the 5-hole one on Stamkos wasn't great, but it's just that's, you're bored out of your mind if you're sitting around thinking about the psychology of who's backing up. Like, come on.
Joe Wall's confidence is shot. That's what I see when I look at him. He needs to get back feeling better about himself. But listen, Ryan, if for whatever reason in the playoffs goaltending becomes an issue, you've got a 2-time Stanley Cup winner sitting there who's been practicing with the team. He's ready to tag back in. We're talking about Matt Murray.
Yeah, you can say a lot of things about Matt Murray, but when playoffs start, that guy's got a great reputation.
For the record, just to put a bow on this, I would have Joe Wall back him up. I think this, as I said, the sky's the limit. If there's a guy who can go in there and go on a lights out run for you, it's him.
Dude, that is. I can't even believe people are sitting around actually thinking about who's sitting on the bench backing up. Like, that is ridiculous.
For everybody at home, I'm very active on Leaf Twitter. Ryan is not. So one of my favorite things to do is to save these sort of nuggets of things that I see and then wait for the podcast to drop them on and get his take about people analyzing the psychology of who the backup
who's
goalie is going to be.
Playing.
Oh, like, yeah.
And to think about the situations if he did come and play. It's either Samsonov was brutal and got pulled, or he got hurt, and in that situation, it's just, like, not a good situation anyway. Like, come on. That's crazy, man. I don't know.
Before we get out of here, you mentioned before we started here, you wanted to touch a little bit on the current playoff situation and some of the things that stand out to you, particularly in the Western Conference. So,
yeah, I mean, we were talking about Tampa being a brutal matchup for Boston. And, I mean, as of right now, the LA Kings are playing the Edmonton Oilers, which if I'm the Edmonton Oilers, I know the Kings are a pretty good team, but I think through past experience, you've seen that the Oilers can beat that hockey team. And the Vegas Golden Knights have kind of had a weird season with the whole, they're kind of doing the Kucherov thing and they've had some injuries and whatever. But if somehow they sneak into third place and the Oilers have to play the Golden Knights.
7-2-1 in the last 10, the Vegas Golden Knights.
Yeah, if they... Good luck to the Oilers if they have to play them in the first round. I'd be praying for the Kings.
You know what, though? If you're an Oiler fan, to quote the Nature Boy, to be the man, you got to beat the man. And we looked at the series with the Leafs and Tampa last year as we didn't want to play Tampa again, but it was like, well, got to exercise that demon. And you could look at the same situation with the Leafs again this year where it's like, you're probably going to play the team that pushed you around for 5 games and made easy work of you in the second round. So you got to go in there and just exercise that demon, man. 100%. And then just to switch back to the East here.
And then, like, even another team, too, is like the Winnipeg Jets.
Okay,
like,
so that's, staying in the West.
Yeah, like
staying
that,
in the West.
You look at their numbers. Like, what a great defensive hockey team. They got the best goalie in the league as of right now. And
they're going to have to play Colorado.
Yeah, like, that's... That sucks. Yeah. Like, that sucks for them, especially like that fan base is like, there's been attendance for, like, I want to see them be successful, to be honest with you. Ever since Dubois left that team, they become a lot more likable to me, and that's a tough matchup for them.
If you look at the playoffs the way, like, if they started tomorrow, you'd have, I guess, who's got the tiebreaker between Vegas and Nashville, because they both have 92 points.
Well, right now it looks like it's Vegas because they're ahead.
But unless either way,
but they do have a game in hand as well. So I guess they have a better winning percentage. So, but
if they did start tomorrow, just based on this ESPN wildcard ranking here, Vegas would be playing the Vancouver Canucks, which I think is a super interesting matchup because the Canucks are a young team that has had a hell of a season that has been in the driver's seat in the West for, like, they're in second now behind Dallas, but they've been in the driver's seat. And now they're going to have to play the defending cup champs, a team with a ton of playoff experience. That'll be super, super interesting matchup. I think I have done a lot of complaining about the National Hockey League in the last few years and just saying it's a terrible product. I'm going to take my hat off here. This last month with Matt Rempe sort of bringing fighting back into the league, a lot of the races down the stretch here, I think this is shaping up. It's starting about 20 days too late, but it's shaping up to be a really, really, really interesting first round. The Stanley Cup playoff first round is one of the most electric playoff formats of all the big four.
Yeah, it's the best.
Yeah, like just to touch on them one more time, you flip over to the East and you got the Tampa Bay Lightning. Like, if you're the Bruins or the Rangers, you want no part of them.
No.
In the first round. Absolutely not.
No.
Andre Vasilevsky just rounding back into, I went to 3 straight cup finals form.
Yeah. Yeah.
I know that team from a depth perspective is not the team they were when they went on their 3 cup runs, but you've got all the big players who did it still there.
You're the most dangerous hockey player in the world right now, just on fire. Like, just, he's going to get into the 140s in points. Like, that guy's on another level right now.
Yesterday, I was watching the Bruins and Panthers, and it was the ESPN broadcast, and during the intermission, they showed the best odds to win the Stanley Cup. They had the Carolina Hurricanes currently with the best odds to win the Stanley Cup. And to me, can Freddie Anderson get you there? When I look at the Carolina Hurricanes, that's my main question with them is we know as Leaf fans, we know very well playoff Freddie Anderson. And, you know, he's coming off some health issues and all the respect in the world to him from battling back from that. But is he a guy who can carry you through 4 rounds to win a Stanley Cup?
They also haven't shown anything.
Well, like they got to the East final last year.
They've won some rounds. There's no denying that. Like, they've had some success. It's not like they've been leafy and just been bounced in the first round. But I do think you look at their past and you kind of look at their roster, and it's like, yeah, they play a very hard game, a great system. They got a great coach. They got great D-men. Their forwards work their ass off. They got Gensel. Like, they got some more scoring touch. But I don't know. It just seems like they are still just lacking that one thing, and it's hard to put your finger on it. But
the thing that stands out to me, and not to poo-poo the division as a whole, but, you know, like, we sit as Toronto sports fans, you know, we do a lot of complaining about the Jays are in the American League East. The Leafs are in the Atlantic Division. You look at the Metropolitan, the team that the Carolina Hurricanes are going to end up playing, no matter who it is, look at the point discrepancy.
Yeah.
The Hurricanes have 103 points. Currently behind them in third place is the New York Islanders with 85. Then you have the Penguins and Flyers at 83 and the Capitals at 82. Like, the Carolina Hurricanes are sitting here licking their chops for whoever their first round opponent's going to be.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't disagree at all.
And the thing about that team, they've got my favorite coach in the entire league, who, even though there is a point discrepancy, Rod the Bod is not going to let them rest on their laurels. They'll be ready to go for game one, that team, 100%.
Mm-hmm. And everyone always, what I find funny is that conversation where people kind of want to go back to the 1-8, 2-7, 3-6 format. And you just look at the standings when you think about that, and all it would really do is mix up the 2-3 matchups. Like, right now, Tampa would be playing Carolina. Florida would be playing. The Leafs are still playing Florida. Like, the Islanders are playing the Bruins. Like, it doesn't really... I find it funny when people talk about that, because if you look at the matchups, it doesn't really change that much.
Yeah.
Like, it's just... I don't know. I don't hate the format they have right now.
I think the thing that... The reason why I would like to go back to the 1-8 is because I don't like how you have to get out of your division. I'm not a huge fan of that. Like, I'm a big fan of let's just let the chips fall where they may and see who you play in the first round. And then you've kind of got all the teams in the conference sort of mixed in together. I'm not a huge fan of, like, last year, they get through Tampa, they got to go to Florida.
Yeah.
The whole time it was whoever wins this series is playing Florida or Boston in the next round.
Yeah.
Right? So I'm just kind of... That's the thing I don't like about it, is the whole, and I know they're like, we try and create rivalries, and I guess to a degree it's worked. Like, I was watching the Tampa Bay Lightning the other night, and I was like, God, I hate this team.
Yeah, it has worked.
God, I hate them.
The Bruins, Panthers, Lightning, I can't stand them. I hate them. Like, it takes me out of being critical Leaf fan and puts me into diehard blue and white fan.
So,
because I just can't stand them.
Let's just say there was a scenario where the Leafs played the New York Rangers in the first round. I also would look at that and go, okay, cool, like a fresh first round opponent, right? Yeah. I wouldn't look at that and go, oh, well, I wanted them to have a divisional matchup. If anything, I would go, maybe it's not the worst thing for this team to sort of get out of the division and play a new team and have a fresh opponent in
almost
the first
like the
round.
Teams
with no
that,
baggage.
The teams that can't win in the playoffs are the teams like that this conversation is centered around. Like the Bruins, I know they lost to the Panthers, but usually they don't have a tough time getting out of the division in the playoffs. You know, it's just the Leafs just can't win a round. So people are just trying to find ways for them to win a round.
Yeah.
Like to win the cup, it's just you gotta
chair is doing this.
You gotta
get a new chair,
man. Teams, man.
I need to get a new chair. Spend every week just sitting here progressively
sinking.
I start on level playing field with you, and then I just spend the whole episode sinking into the floor.
Yeah.
All right, buddy. I mean, you tapped out on the regular season to start this episode. There's 6 games left.
One more regular season episode.
I'm going to be honest with you. The home and home against the New Jersey Devils is something I'm looking at like...
Sickening. It's the worst.
There's something about the New Jersey Devils.
Yeah, it's awful.
And it's been this way since, like, I'm a few years older than Ryan, so I remember the Devils teams of the Lou Lamoriello Devils teams and just what a brutal watch they were, and that's just stayed with me. Every time I see the New Jersey Devils, I'm like, oh.
The Leafs could not beat them
no.
in the playoffs back in the day.
No, they couldn't. All right. Well, we're going to get out of here. We'll be back next Sunday. And I think that'll be our last regular season episode. And then we are in it. We will be here after every single playoff game. We had a guy write in our comments last week, we need more from the Talkin' Buds. Well, you're going to get it come playoff time. So if you want to come along this journey with us, hit that like and subscribe button below. Follow us on our socials. We have Instagram and TikTok below.
Spread the word, tell your friends.
If you're listening to the audio version, leave a review. Like, we need to help boost up the audio. I said this last week. Our YouTube numbers have been great all year. We need the audio to kind of kick into that. I mean, we are a YouTube show first and foremost, so whatever. Anyways.
See you later.
See you guys next time.